Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you concerned with the length of the injury of Adley Rutschman, Jeremy, in terms of timeout?
I mean, it couldn't happen at a worse time, I think, with what you have here, especially with what happened to Maverick as well, because defensively it scares you. But, yeah, I'm concerned with it because he was actually starting to play well.
They went out and signed Jacob Stallings as a backup catcher. Jacob Stallings has played Major League Baseball for, 10 years now?
Yeah, he's with the Marlins for a period of time.
Colorado Rockies, Pittsburgh Pirates.
He
was the guy on the other side answering the question, what's the score of the Pirates game?
Was he?
Yeah.
That son of a bitch. No. But when it comes down to it, like a guy like Jacob Stallings, to me, occasionally he'll run into one. I hate saying this, but you feel like with Coors, you got to throw out the numbers at times because of what a cheat code it is for batters. And I feel the same way for pitchers. Yeah. Like I think it messes with their minds. If I was a young pitcher and got drafted by the Rockies, I'd be pissed. But when you get to this situation with Stallings, I feel like he's one of those guys that's probably the Mendoza line hitter, the 2 to 220 type hitter, and run into one every once in a while. I don't know what his numbers are saying right there.
But 234.
See, and again, that's kind of where I feel like he's going to be. Nothing special. There was a reason why he's out there, and I'm not trying to knock him, but he's probably better than what you have here.
The reason you're knocking him is the reason he's out there. Yeah. 35, 36 years old, or 35. And he was batting, you talk about the numbers, offensive numbers, he's batting 143 in Colorado. Okay. Oh, you know what his OPS was?
Throw that out.
You know what his OPS was?
What?
I ain't never seen OPS this low. 396.
Really?
This is OPS.
That's a good on base percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Incredible on base percentage. So, you know.
But it's not.
Maybe he's a defensive catcher. Is that his thing? Defense? He has a gold glove. He won a gold glove before.
Yeah.
So I'm good with that. He won a gold glove back in 21 when he was with the Pirates.
But with a team, so here's the issue that I have with a team that's struggling on offense, bringing in another guy that can't hit just because he can stop the, like, you're going back and looking at it. Gary Sanchez gave you a reason to like him with the 3-run homer, and he gave you a reason to not like him with all the mistakes behind the plate.
Well, put it this way. Let Gary Sanchez play long enough to hit the home run, and then when the game's on the line, you put Jacob Stallings in.
Oh, I'm not arguing that. Like, I would be okay if Gary Sanchez never brought a baseball glove to a game, ever.
He doesn't.
Ever.
See, you're getting your wish already.
Yes. 410-583-1057 is the number. He's a tall catcher, 6'5".
Feels like nowadays we're seeing a lot more.
More of them, but not. There's still
big catchers, like, big shortstops.
Like 6'2", 6'3", normally.
At the most. I mean, some of you are 5'10", 5'11".
6'5"? Man, that's a, ooh, that would tear my knees up.
I got, one thing bothers me, though, when you talk about these stadiums, like a sport that values stats so highly, more than any other sport.
Dimensions.
How can you have this with dimensions different in every field? Because I mean, if you go to the Yankees, you have an advantage. You go to Colorado, you get a huge advantage. You go to somebody's place. You go to the old Oakland Stadium. No. I mean, the foul territory is as big as a stadium.
Yeah,
I mean,
so it's a pitcher's advantage.
Yeah, so it's like.
But it's also a sport that romanticizes the stadiums.
I know.
Too. So I think that's it kind of.
But it's just, it seems to me it's so unfair if you go to a place where, you know, with big dimensions, or you go to a place that's a bandbox, and then, you know, your stats are compared at the end of your careers.
You got two teams playing at minor league stadiums this year.
Right now, yeah.
You have, you know, the heat wave that we have going across the country and what it's done. It's a huge boost to bats there.
Yeah.
But you do have the proverbial, like, weather change. The cold weather is going to help the pitchers.
Well, but that's different, though, because that's in every sport. That happens in football because, you know, weather matters. But
I'm saying, like, the heat's going to help the bats during the summertime, and obviously when it gets colder, it's going to help them. But it's the dimensions of these ballparks, because I got so tired of people saying build a park when it came to Camden Yards, because they moved the fence back and then they moved it in a little bit. When just watching the game last night, they were talking about all the stadiums that have done this. City Field just did it.
Meanwhile,
they just moved the fences in.
Meanwhile, I was in the Yankee Stadium over the weekend and I saw one too many home runs that were home runs that shouldn't have been home runs.
They're only home runs in that stadium.
It's unreal, man. That place.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, you realize it. When you and I were sitting in the stands, we were talking about it. But when you're standing on the field and you're looking out at the fence thinking, yeah, that's not, I mean, no, I couldn't hit it there, but I'm not a major league player. That right field wall gets up on you pretty quick.
Absolutely it does. Yeah, absolutely. They take advantage of it fully. And they should. I mean, it's their ballpark, but it's just, I don't get it. And it seems unfair that they'll lead the league in home runs every year.
Every year.
You know, and like, you know, Aaron Judge will have, you know, 60 home runs, 65, whatever the hell he's going to have this year. I don't know. But he might not have that if he played anywhere else. It just seems to be really grossly unfair.
I think it benefits those other guys more than Judge. Because I think I saw a stat last year where the majority, I think all but 7 or 8 of his home runs would have been home runs almost everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. I think
that's still a lot, though.
It's still a lot.
Yeah,
but still, what did he hit last year?
I don't remember the number offhand. I mean, he won the MVP. Yeah. So
I think I'm not saying it doesn't benefit him at all.
But so if that's the case,
it benefits some of the other guys
more. Than
10%. How about that Cal Raleigh's having one of the most amazing seasons you'd ever see from a catcher, and he's second in the MVP voting, and he has no shot of winning this award unless Aaron Judge falls off?
I know. Well, Judge's bat almost 400 as well.
He's just and he just went through a stretch where he was like 2 of 26 too, and he's still hitting there.
Maybe Aaron Judge would be Lamar Jackson. And Kyle Raleigh will be Josh Allen.
You think I'm going to go to bat for him?
No.
No.
Well, let me ask you a question. You went to bat for Lamar, didn't you?
Yeah.
What good did that do?
You know what? I'm just going to go F myself. You guys can enjoy yourself the rest of the day.
What good did it do? Lamar Jackson's probably somewhere said, Jeremy, shut up next time, man. Yeah.
Can you imagine? Oh, that'd be awful, because you would be saying big dumper every day and making all kinds of.
Well, dumping. I would change it up. I mean, I'd give you some, you know, like we gave you turd cutter yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother told me after the show, he said, Jeremy was right. I said, well, what? That joke ain't for us.
Yeah. I got a buddy when everybody else in the room's laughing, he'll just look and you're like, hey, you didn't find that funny? White people humor. Okay.
I saw a store yesterday, I don't know what they were selling, but it had a special on WPS.
Really?
Yeah. 40% off of WPS. I don't know what WPS is in
white
relation
people.
To that
we
store.
We know what it is.
Yeah. But in relation to that store in Bel Air. I looked, they get 40% off WPS. I wonder what WPS really was in that store.
What else did they sell?
It was how home goods store.
Okay.
Yeah. I know.
Reclaimed wood.
Let's go to Antonio and Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Yeah. Happy hump day Wednesday.
Happy hump day Wednesday. Almost there, Antonio. Almost there.
Yep. Will the Orioles win/lose that good at the All-Star break determine if they will be sellers at the trade deadline? Have a wonderful day, guys.
You too. I think that has a lot to do with it, Antonio. I think that's a good point, a period to focus on, the All-Star break, because that's what, less than 2 weeks before the trade deadline, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or about 2 weeks about before 2 weeks, the trade deadline. Yeah. So I think that's a great question. I think the All-Star break will be a good barometer for what they're going to do at the trade deadline, because they can't wait till the last minute, Ed.
No.
You got that week off. Yeah. You know where you are. And, you know, how much will it change in the next 2 weeks? I think that's when you'll start determining what you're going to do moving forward.
Yeah, if you need to know, because then they get accused of not being aggressive because other people jump on the second, once the portal's open, boom, people are making deals. So,
Joe, give me those expected home run numbers for Judge.
So if Judge had he hit 58 last year.
Okay.
If he had just played in Yankee Stadium for 162 games, he would have hit 61.
All right.
If he played in Cincinnati, he would have hit 73.
Okay.
It's all over the place. Yeah. Some it's worse. If he had just played at Camden Yards, he would have hit 55.
And Camden Yards is the one he complained about.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He still would have hit 55. So basically, what we learned is Judge is cranking him out no matter where he plays.
If he plays in KC, it's only 45. That's the lowest.
Oh, man. He's scrub, isn't he? 45 home runs.
That's a huge difference, though. That makes my point.
Come on.
That's a big ball.
Well, Kansas City, big. Yeah. Oh, that makes your original point of how. How many would George Brett if he didn't play in Kansas City? Because remember, he wasn't a home run hitter.
Yeah.
Would he have been a home run hitter playing someplace else?
Well, think about that, because that's a 13 home run difference. In the course of a career, if you only had a 10-year career, it's 130 fewer home runs. That's a whole different record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I think, like, we don't talk about him enough, but Hank Aaron being the most consistent player I think we've ever seen in the history of the game.
Yeah, never hit 50.
No, but you knew what you were getting every year.
Every year.
He came out. It didn't matter. You know, pick a year. Oh, wow. He hit almost 40 or he hit 40.
He hit 41, 44. Yeah.
NBA draft preview at 8:30, but on the other side, keep talking with some birds with my man Matt Warrick up next on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Joining us right now, Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com, courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline. He's Matt Wyrick. What's going on, Matt?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Good.
Oh, I'm still recovering from last night, man. From a no-hitter to back-to-back-to-back jacks to... it's hard to criticize a guy who hit a three-run home run to get you back in the game, but at the same time... Gary Sanchez almost let that one, responsible for letting that one slip away as well.
Yeah, I mean, that game itself was just an emotional roller coaster, and Gary Sanchez, obviously, his defense not exactly shining through in that one. A couple of balls at home plate, he wasn't able to corral. They weren't necessarily great throws. You know, the one from Ramon Laureano pulled him up the first base line a bit, Gunnar Henderson's throw. With a runner coming home, was also not online. But then again, with the pass balls in the extra innings, I mean, you know, this is something we knew about Gary Sanchez coming in. His defense isn't exactly his best trait. He really needs to carry his value with his offense. And, you know, he's done that of late for sure. But now that Adley Rutschman is on the IL, they're going to rely on him a lot more.
Man, we're talking about, you know, we all knew who he was going to be like. What he was going to be like coming here. How long do you continue with this, though? It's like he should be just DHing. I mean, he's throwing balls in center field. He has a glove like a steel pan. Like, what do you do with it? How long do you continue?
You know, it's tough to say. I mean, obviously they're going to try and see if they can solve him. But at this point of his career, he might just be what he is. And, you know, Rutschman's out for the next 3 weeks. So if he's able to come back right after the All-Star break, maybe they just grit their teeth and get to it then. I mean, when your best other option, you know, is Chadwick Trump, you know, and not that he's a bad defender by any means, he's not. But then you have to have his bat in the lineup every day, and the world's already struggling to score runs. So you know, that's the balance you're going to have to make.
Does this affect the Basayo decision at all? I know they want him just to be ready, and he's only caught 25 games in AAA and all. But does this speed him up at all?
That's what they're saying, is that they don't want to speed him up just because of the need for a catcher. You know, obviously he has some tools there. He's a rocket arm. But being only 20 years old, I don't know that they feel comfortable bringing him up just yet. It seems like they still want to see some more from him. I mean, offensively, he's looked great. You know, like I said, he's got that arm, but just being so young, you know, youngest player in AAA right now, I'm just not sure that's what they want to do. And of course, You know, you have to factor in the fact that they probably would like to keep his rookie eligibility for next year as well to get that potential comp pick should he finish in the top two of rookie of the year.
Yeah, every morning I look in the mirror and point and say, I'm not going to let a baseball team decide how my day is going to go today. So that's why I want to talk to you about your ballot here. You picked your top 10 movies of the 21st century, and I think you did a phenomenal job with this. Need a little No Country for Old Men in there, and there's a couple other ones that I'd have. I liked Everything Everywhere All at Once, but Matt, I feel like you and I are on the same level with movies, man.
Yeah, you know, Jacob, my partner, Jacob Calvin Myers, said I was an Oscar snob. For my list. So.
Yeah, well, he's a serial killer. He uses his middle name. So.
Fair. But no, that was a tough list to put together, man. There's some good ones out there. But I like to go based off of, I love going to movies. So I love to go based off of the feel in the theater. Interstellar and Dune 2 were both just, borderline religious experiences for me of just how awesome they were. But the storytelling, from some of those, love the Lord of the Rings, had to throw one of those in there. I felt pretty good about that. I felt like I hit a couple of genres.
See? And,
I was happy with it.
More movie talk.
Yeah. Matt Wyrick from BaltimoreSun.com. I'm glad you took it off baseball, Jeremy, because now that opens up the door for me.
Oh.
How's your weekend in New York, Matt?
I had a great time in New York, man. It's always a fun time up there. I look forward to that every time. I spent a summer up there, the summer I turned 21, and that's when you really get a lay of the land.
Oh.
So I've got a few spots to like to go back to.
I couldn't wait to read your coverage of the game on Sunday. I couldn't wait to read that. Because I wanted to know if you truly
were in.
Understood what was going on in the game Sunday. That's all I'm saying, man.
Yeah, wasn't a whole lot of hours of sleep. It's tough. We're sitting around 11:35 game the next day, but we made it plenty of time. Felt good.
Matt, another movie that could have been on there is Bridesmaid, and it sounds like he's saying that you look like Kristen Wiig on the airplane is what he's telling me.
Well, I'll tell you, Bridesmaids is on my wife's list, so that tells you everything you need to know.
Well, Matt, now that everybody's talking about this, I'm a native New Yorker. What are your spots that you're talking about here?
Well, our favorite one of our go-tos is Rudy's over in Hell's Kitchen.
Oh yeah,
free hot dogs all night. So there.
You get those at the bar or in the bathroom. Oh no! Hold on, I'm writing down.
I'm just glad it's Hell's Kitchen again because I worked there, and for a while they changed it to Clinton because it sounded too rough.
Really?
Yeah. Hell's Kitchen is the freaking Westies. They were murdering people for the Gotties. Leave it alone.
By the way, I love the fact that you guys asked two baseball questions, and now Matt's like, am I going to talk about this team? No.
Hey, Matt, tell folks how to follow you on social media, my friend.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at @ByMattWyrick, and all my work's over at BaltimoreSun.com. Appreciate it, fellas.
Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
I think I got to put my 10 together now. Movies from the 21st century.
Yeah, I would definitely put I would have much different 10.
I mean, I'd have some of the ones he has, but like I wouldn't have Dune. But as he said, Dune 2 was an experience in the theater. That's how I felt about the movie Life of Pi. I really liked
Life of Pi, yes.
In the movie theaters. It was beautiful.
Well, Interstellar kind of left me cold.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Matt on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. I said, Matt, looked him up and down.
Where were you?
I said, in the clubhouse.
I know.
No, I said, you had a good night? He said, yeah. He wasn't looking at me at the time. Yeah. He's looking at his eyelids.
Checking for holes.
Yeah. Hey, was that an adult movie you were talking about? Interstellar?
Is it Interstellar? Interstellar. That's my favorite. You do know we have a guest, right?
But also has an accent.
We'll get to that in a second. Are you taking a piss? We're going
to get to it. 410-583-1057 is the number. Former MLB pitcher, now broadcaster Jeff Nelson joins us at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, NBA draft preview up next on The Fan. With the first pick in the NBA draft, the Dallas Mavericks, Jeremy's favorite team.
Man, shut up.
Picks Cooper Flagg. Jeremy Collins, yay.
No.
Yay, they got the white.
Is that what I said? They got the best white. Not the wife. Can I tell you my favorite thing?
You gotta get another one. Gotta get another one.
Well, if Adam Silver promised you the great white hope, and you if you trade away your great white hope, then all of a sudden, all's good in the basketball.
Now you got
world.
An American great white hope.
Yeah. I was just going to say, finally, an American white.
I loved it when people go, hey, who's the best white player in the league? And then you'd start going, well, you got to go Lukic, and you go, Jokic is in that group. And then you start to say, oh, who? I'm, back in the day, it was like Steve Nash. No, he's Canadian. And when they say American, even though they mean U.S.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is funny to me that one of the reports is like, Mavericks accidentally leak out who they're drafting. They didn't have to accidentally do anything. We know who they're drafting. That's not a story.
If they don't listen, you know how mad you were when they traded Luka? I won't be mad, but I will blast them equally as bad tomorrow if they don't. I'm going to explain something to you about this kid. I saw him play at AAU. All right, I saw him play at AAU. You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
No one. Absolutely no one. So stop now. He doesn't remind me of anybody. And I'm tired of the comparison. He is Cooper Flagg. Doesn't remind me of this guy. Doesn't remind me of that guy. Stop with the comparison. This is a bad dude. I'm telling you, he's a bad. He is by far the best player in the draft. And there's some talented players in the draft.
He schooled some NBA players in high school.
Yeah, I know he did.
Yeah, sure. But you know what's funny, though, too? Like, just sitting here talking about Cooper Flagg and the type of player that he can become, it's a no-brainer to take him. But this is a very interesting draft where I think a lot of people are torn because of what Ace Bailey was doing.
He's a bad boy, too.
Dylan Harper looks great. I like the kid Yakachonis, whatever, from Illinois. He was the point guard that was like Luka Light, if you will, is what they were calling him because he fills up the stat sheet.
Derek Queen.
We'll see where he goes.
I think he's going top five.
Do you? I see a lot of mocks that have him going. Where was this one? This was, they got him sliding in this draft.
Where?
I'm still trying to find him. They had him going 15 to OKC.
Why is he sliding?
I mean, this is
not
just
in shape.
This is an ESPN mock draft.
Okay.
So,
well, they're normally pretty.
But I'm just
good
saying, some of the jostling that goes on, we have all the trades that happen. The Wizards picked up some draft capital. They can move up. And if anybody's looking at which team just got more first round picks, and they have like five or six. Oh, the Nets. And it's like, okay, what are you going to do with it? Like, why would a team give up a top five pick for three first-round picks this year, unless you just had nothing on your team? I mean, I have a roster of 12 players.
What's the Thunder going to do with all their picks?
I still think that Giannis may be going there in the offseason or another.
Who has five? Somebody has five picks in the first round? No.
The Nets.
They have five, right?
The Nets. And the highest one is like number eight or nine. Hold on. Let me scroll up. Their highest pick is number eight. And everybody's like, oh, that's a ton of draft capital to move up. Yeah, you could take pick eight and use a couple of those other picks and move up. That makes sense, but they'd have to give up the eighth pick to even get somewhere near the lottery, at the top of the lottery.
My belief is there's a big, if I want to move up in the top, let's say I want to move up to number four. Jerry, you know the NBA draft well enough to know number four, number eight is a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, if
it's
you're
a
picking,
big
right?
difference in the NBA. And not in the NFL so much, but in the NBA, number four to number eight, that's huge. So I would move up quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, like, watching college basketball and seeing how some of these guys get ranked. And I talked about this years ago where it's like the NBA is looking for a body type that they can build upon. Because once you get there, I mean, they still got, like, Chet Holmgren, get the guy a sandwich or something. Just help him out a little bit because they haven't worked on that body much at all.
He's doing the same thing I'm doing this month.
Yeah.
No carbs, no sugar. Looks like it, doesn't it?
Man, just inject him with some carbs and sugar. But no, like, Jalen Smith, when he got drafted out of Maryland, everybody's like, oh, my God, he went that high? Yeah, he's a 6'10 frame. Mm-hmm. He can shoot threes. He's a stretch four. They love what they can do with that body. He can play center if you wanted to. Yeah. It's not even going small, but technically it would be nowadays.
Well, I think you go small with him because of his game.
Well, because he's not going small
is not always. Yeah, going small is not always the size of the player. Going small sometimes the style of the player.
Yeah,
and he's going small just by definition of how he plays. Any surprises tonight, Ed? Are you going to watch the draft? Or you'll follow it online.
I'll follow it. I mean, obviously, I just want to see what the Knicks do. But I'm going to see if he goes, if Flag goes for, as expected.
It's 100%.
I'm assuming he does.
Yeah.
That's about it. Because it's also fascinating, like, how many NBA players have come from Maine?
Well, The most famous Duncan person Robinson. I know from Maine is Nick Cantor Medley, because he would tell everybody that when he would go out partying.
Did
I'm
really?
From Maine. Okay. All right. Yeah.
But see, the difference in Cooper Flagg and everybody else from Maine mm-hmm. is he didn't play youth ball in Maine.
It was Florida.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah. He's from Maine just by, you know, that's where his, you know, mm-hmm. he grew up. But
he just told me Duncan Robinson's from Maine.
I just said that.
Did you? Oh, he just said it in my ear. I didn't hear you.
Oh, you, because on air you didn't hear, you heard him whisper to you.
He was talking to me. What are you, how am
said
I?
Said it simultaneously.
Yeah.
Cooper didn't, he ain't playing Maine.
No, I know.
It's like they won the national championship last year, and Walter Clayton Jr. is projected to go in the 20s.
Not to take us totally off track, but they must be doing some magic down there. Because right, IMG. Because when I go back to Sarasota, there's like a steady parade of young guys with their moms, walking through that airport with IMG bags.
He didn't go to IMG, though.
No. I'm just saying, it was football and stuff like that, where it's just like, it's like an athlete factory down there. They come from all over the country.
Yeah, that's why it's a factory. Yeah. They get to pick the top pick of the litter.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Cooper Flagg, too. Who was it? There was the other kid.
Queen was there.
That played with Cooper Flagg. There was another white kid, is what I'm getting at.
Florida?
With him on his high school team.
At Duke.
Not at Duke.
Who?
Who was it? I know, I got to look it up. I was just reading about him yesterday and I've already forgot it. That's great. Once I see his name.
They had another white there?
At Duke? I'm talking about in high school.
Yes, with me.
Yeah. There were two good whites. We can find a couple. Don't even get me started, man. Damn.
Find a couple.
The whites.
There's a lot of good whites.
Leo,
none of them American.
Leo, who's our guest in the studio right now, is thinking, what did they get me in the middle of? I don't know whether to laugh or to feel awkward. 410-583-1057 while Jeremy finds the other white. Jeff Nelson joins us at 9:00. Talks of baseball. But on the other side is Commissioner
Liam
Baltimore.
McNeely was the other guy.
Okay.
Well, yeah, we're totally going to derail this and really scare the... Did you know the bombing in Iraq didn't really work? Iran, excuse me. As promised.
Really?
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about what the potential retaliation is. I just want to talk a little bit what really goes on behind the scenes with the sleeper cells and all.
Commissioner Baltimore up next on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time right now for Commissioner's Baltimore. What you got for us, Eddie?
Well, I don't know if anybody's heard, but we dropped some bombs in Iran.
You dropped a bomb on me.
I don't know if anybody heard about this.
Maybe.
And they immediately, shook their fist at the sky. Yo! No! But, they're going to get us. They're going to get us. But two things. Apparently, the president called the reporters who reported that the damage wasn't, that we did not take out the nuclear site. He called them scum for reporting it.
So. What a piece of work.
That was that. But more than that, they threatened to activate sleeper cells in the U.S. And people keep asking me when they're out there, are they here? Yes, they're here. Yes. They've been here for decades, yes. And with the open borders we've had, I'm sure they've just, their ranks have swollen tremendously. Yeah. You just walk in, but they've been here a long time. And I'll just give you, and you think, if you think for a second that you're safe here, because who would want to, hurt Baltimore? It's already, it's already a toilet. Like, what else are you going to do to us? No, they're here.
I always liked when they would take pictures of either Detroit mm-hmm. or downtown Baltimore and then say, man, look at this, and then make you think it's a third world country. And yes. go, well, I'm sorry, that would be Flint, Michigan.
Yes.
You know, like, ugh.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was funny. It was a guy reporting, I think it was on the John Oliver show. One of those shows. He had, you know, with a man on the street, and he was in a war zone. And his comment was, I can't remember where he was, somewhere in the Middle East. He goes, yeah, it's really, really scary. He goes, well, it's not Baltimore, but it's still scary. That was the reputation we had. However, but I mean, besides the fact, I mean, you know about my story, if you listen to the show, that, you know, I had a murder case in 1990. The guy, and it was the first, it was an Al-Qaeda murder. It killed Mari Kahani. There were three guys under arrest for murder. Two of them released over my objections. And then 2 years later, they drove the van to the Trade Center in 1993 and tried to topple it then. But the point is, those guys were here for like forever, like a decade before. Married an American woman to become citizens. So their whole goal is to become entrenched in society, have no contact with law enforcement, obey the rules, obey the law, get a job. And when they get the call, they do that. They go and assassinate people, put bombs in our, you know, tall buildings, of which we are so proud, as they wrote, take down their tall buildings. And I'll give an example. If you think it just happens in places like New York City or D.C., you're kidding yourself. It was the one-year anniversary of 9/11. One of my detectives, it was county, city, feds, they all went out in the warrant task force. They went out and they hit an apartment for an arson warrant. And they see a bunch of men from different countries of interest, like Somalia and Morocco and Egypt, and people that wouldn't ordinarily hang out together in the same apartment with no furniture, but a lot of computers and passports that weren't theirs, et cetera, et cetera. So they lock them all up, all out of status. And then, of course, the feds being the feds, they release them immediately because that requires work. So you wouldn't want to do that. And they release all these guys. No investigation, really. I go berserk. I go on TV. Then Congressman Earle calls, what's going on? I told him we have like a cell here that they just released back into our streets on the anniversary of 9/11. We downloaded their erased hard drives. And on their computers were beapilot.com, learntofly.com, all our local airstrips. Yeah, and they let these guys go. They got rearrested and built a case. And yes, they were plotting to do something here. So my point is, they're here. That's a long time. That's 20 years ago he's talking now. Right? So it's like they're here. They've been here a long time. And to think that they're not is extraordinarily naive. If there's going to let any takeaway for people, what we learned in the post-arrest investigation with them is that they was on Labyrinth Road in Baltimore. And when we canvassed the neighbors, everybody was suspicious.
Really?
Everybody. You know how many people called the police? Nobody. Because they saw cars with different state tags on them. So you have different license plates from all over the country every night. Coming in, coming out, leaving. No two cars the same. Tonight it's Florida. Tomorrow it's Texas. Then it's New York. Then it's all these different guys coming in and out of this house. No one thought to say anything. And they were all suspicious. They assumed it was drug activity or something like that. They didn't know what it was, but they knew it wasn't good. But no one called anybody. And that's the point is, if you know that whole thing that people think is so corny now, and if you see something, say something, mm-hmm. Somebody leaves a bag unattended. Seriously.
What neighborhood was it in?
Labyrinth Road up in the Park Heights, up that mm-hmm. end, I guess. Yeah.
We never tell.
That they have trouble?
Yeah, I know.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Tell.
Yeah.
It's if it's suspicious, we just ignore it. That's all. If you want to know why our neighborhoods are treated different, because we treat our neighborhoods different.
Oh, we've been talking about this forever.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, yeah. Honestly.
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't be tolerated in another neighborhood.
Right.
They'd call quick, fast, in a hurry.
Yeah.
And they would probably knock on your door, ask you, what are you doing here? Those are the nosy neighbors. You don't want to be around it. You go to a neighborhood where you know no one's going to say anything.
Right. 100%.
We thought they were drug dealers. Well, you're not going to call them drug dealers because, in your opinion, that's normal activity in your neighborhood.
Right. Yeah.
I said this before, Ed. If you come to my house and I treat my family like crap, you're going to follow suit. That's what you're going to think about my family.
Yes.
If you come to my house and I treat my family like royalty, mm-hmm. you're going to follow suit.
Right.
You don't know me.
That's what we do in our neighborhoods.
Yes.
You wonder why everybody else treats your neighborhood like it's a dumping ground?
Mm-hmm.
Because you treat your neighborhood like it's a dumping ground. How do you want me to have more respect for something
than you do?
Exactly.
Yep. Yep. So the point is, we're not, I used to, if you remember before I went to Sports Radio, the old show like 20 years ago, I used to end every day and they're trying to kill us. Keep that in mind. Right now, as we're sitting having coffee and talking sports and enjoying ourselves, they are actually literally trying to kill us, plotting every day.
They're trying to take us away, haha?
They are.
Okay.
Trying to take us away, hee-hee, ho-ho, ha-ha-ha. Yeah. Napoleon III, I think, that was saying that. Anyway, they are. So be aware. Seriously. Open your eyes. Pay attention. Say something. Even if it's an anonymous tip. You got, if something doesn't look right, I always tell people, if you walk and you see people on one side of the street, like near an ATM, and all of a sudden, like your spider senses start to tingle, you're probably right. Mm. Don't go there. Or cross the street.
You said anonymous tips. Ironically, that's what glory holes and the police have in common.
I know.
That's what they work off of.
You know,
anonymous tips.
In my mind, I swear to you, once I said that, I'm like, I just teed this guy up. I'm like, oh, such an idiot.
Is Joe rubbing his head in there because I said that?
Yes. It's like both of us.
I like the joke more the fourth time you said
it. Oh, shut up. You're going to hear it a seventh time and a tenth time.
How about Trump?
Trump.
Back to him.
Make Baltimore great again.
I want to hear more Jeremy Kahn than 9:30 with Daily Line. But on the other side, former MLB pitcher and now broadcaster Jeff Nelson joins us. He's also a Baltimorean. Up next right here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.